When I think about resistance, I find that because it's uncomfortable, we try to like shove it down or push it away or ignore it. If you with compassion, or if compassion's not available to yourself, then at least with curiosity, give yourself some time and space, get quiet, and take that stance of curiosity. Just kind of notice, okay, if I think about this thing that I want to do, what am I feeling in response to that? And then notice the feeling and kind of like allow yourself to turn towards it rather than pushing it away or trying to resist it. What if you just kind of actually allowed yourself to turn towards it with that stance of curiosity, gently, just kind of like get a little bit closer to it? Does it have anything to say? Are there other feelings there? Do those feelings need to just be felt and acknowledged? Or
I'm your host, Tiffany Gilliland, an Australian business and mindset coach with 10 years' experience in online marketing and the creator of the Business Bravery Framework. I help coaches to be brave so you can sign more clients even if you hate marketing and sales feel icky. From signing your next paying clients through to launching that dream group coaching program, the Business Bravery Framework helps you take bigger leaps without the mindset spirals. It's helped my clients double their investment in me, make thousands of dollars, and truly build their dream business. In this episode, I had the pleasure of chatting with Christine DeRoss, who is a certified hypnotherapist and psychotherapist. She co-founded the Canadian mind and body therapy practice called Being With Collective. Her approach combines hypnotherapy, EMDR, polyvagal theory, and somatic work to treat the root cause of the issues showing up as anxiety, trauma responses, and limiting beliefs or unwanted patterns in clients' lives. Christine is also the creator of the Go Within, which is spelt WTHN. Launching in autumn of 2024, Go Within provides a variety of soothing and transformative audio meditations and tools that integrate hypnotherapy and other empowering techniques to work with your deeper mind. Her collection of hypnosis meditations gently guide listeners toward more calm, a greater sense of ease, and a more regulated nervous system. With that said, this is an amazing episode, and I can't wait to share with you Christine's stories of business bravery, past, present, and future. Now, who's ready for some business bravery inspiration? Let's dive in. Hello everyone, I am super excited to be here with my amazing guest this week, talking to the amazing Christine DeRoss and all of the amazing things that she has going on in the realms of hypnotherapy and all of that good stuff. Christine, thank you so much for joining me this week and taking the time to share your bravery stories. And yeah, I'd love to hear from you. Tell us a bit more about who you are, like, or your business, who you help, and then what brave things you have going on right now.
Okay, well, first of all, thank you so much for having me. This is such a fun opportunity. So, yeah, I don't really get to do stuff like this very often. So, thank you, first of all. And I guess just to begin, I'm a hypnotherapist and psychotherapist. I do primarily hypnotherapy and EMDR, which is a type of trauma therapy. And let's see, maybe to like throw in the brave thing, I became a registered social worker in 2010 and started working in the field of healthcare. And when I started that job, I honestly thought that I would stay there forever, retire, like, pension, but like it had all those things. And even when it became apparent that it wasn't the best fit for me, I was just like, but I am going to retire from this job. And even though it was scary and a little bit of like a shove from the universe, I left and started private practice, got my certification in hypnotherapy, which just kind of like on my own, in my own personal development journey, I had become interested in the subconscious mind. Probably, like in my late 20s. And so, yeah, like at least 10 years ago. And so I just kind of like had this conversation one day with a therapist, and she like I was just like in one of those dark night of the soul kind of situations. And she was like, "I understand you're upset. Like, that's okay. Go ahead and cry. And when you're done, you have options. And she just kind of like turned the conversation around a little bit, and it just really kind of sparked something in me. And so I just started getting ready and started my private practice, which I was a big departure from my original, like, well, I guess not necessarily my original career plan, but where I thought I was going to land. Even though I had kind of forgotten this, but when I was like 16 years old, if you would have asked me what I wanted to be, I told everybody I was going to be a therapist. So here I am. Just a little detour on the way. And so then I started my practice. A few months later, I started taking students and training students in therapy. And my practice grew really quick. I was so blessed for that. But all of these little things would happen that would just really reaffirm that this was the right path for me. And so here we are today, and I have like a wait list and a busy practice, and it just feels really, really fulfilling and exciting. So that's like the most of the career stuff. But this other part of me is, I feel like just like such a classic manifesting generator, you know? And I saw that you're an MG as well. And
Yeah.
so I know you can relate.
Absolutely.
So, like, you know, even when you're doing work that is like fulfilling and exciting, like I always just like want to do more things and like just get so lit up by these other things that in some ways are adjacent and sometimes are very different. But it got me onto this path of having an extra thing outside of my career. And so it started in my mid-20s with a food blog. And so I would do like recipe development, and my favorite part was like styling and taking beautiful photos. I didn't love the tech. But that was my first like creative endeavor, which was so cool because I got to be part of photo shoots and like do all of these like really fun things. Even though the blog itself wasn't super successful, it just opened up all these opportunities and it just grew my world. And that kind of is what led me to the thing that was next, which was a business that I had called Wild Woven with my business partner. Her name was Caitlin. And we created Wild Woven, which was botanically dyed textiles. And we would make all these tools for self-care, like sleep masks made of silk. And we would like paint with botanical dyes on fabric and make lots of things. And it was beautiful and fun. And then I started my private practice, and because that was getting so busy, I found that I just didn't have time for Wild Woven anymore. It was just like really hard to get into that mode, even though I've always loved having some kind of creative outlet. And so Caitlin and I decided to close Wild Woven, but even that was like, we closed it, and the amount of money that I got from my portion was like exactly the amount of money that I needed for my first and last rent on this like beautiful office space. And so it was kind of like this, like, again, supported, like one step kind of led to the other or fed into it. And so I opened this office with my two business partners, who another psychotherapist and a massage therapist, and together we co-founded Being With. And so that's our practice, and we do mind body therapies. And then I again kind of got like the craving to have a creative outlet, and this time it's Go Within. So this had been like an idea percolating in the back of my mind for a while I still had Wild Woven, actually. And I just like really wanted to create hypnosis audios that were like my own unique spin on it. And I kind of think now that it's probably a good thing that it took as long as it did, because I like just over all this time of like working with people in, you know, like there's so many themes that come up, and I've started to integrate nervous system regulation and resourcing, which is a part of EMDR, and all these other pieces that just feel like they're really aligned with hypnosis. And so the audios just integrate all of these things. So this is my latest creative, path that lights me up, but also just feels so related to what I'm doing. So it feels like it's all just kind of like come together in a beautiful way.
Love that. Yeah, I love it when those steps, like you don't feel it in the moment, but when you kind of look back, you can see, oh yeah, this led to this and it was kind of aligned and all that kind of thing. I mean, sometimes you do feel it in the moment, but other times when you look back, you can really see, oh yeah, this led to this and all of that kind of stuff. Tell me a bit more about your approach to hypnotherapy. You said you have your unique spin on it. I'd love to hear a little bit more about that. Of course, there's so many amazing questions I want to ask, but that's the first one that I'm very excited to hear about. I'd love to hear your approach.
Yeah, sure. You know what? I think it's shaped because I was a psychotherapist first. I became a social worker, and even in my training in social work, so in Canada at least, when you I did my master's in social work after I did my undergrad in psychology, and there's this practical component to the training. And my internship ended up being in this children's mental health center in Toronto, here in Canada, which was like classic. Like I would be in the therapy room with my client, and I have an earpiece, and my supervisors would be behind like a mirrored glass, and watching and like cueing me, and like this, so like watched by a team of people as I'm learning how to do therapy. And like we attended, I had all these seminars. Oh my gosh, like nerve-wracking at times.
Yeah, hang on. Sorry. So, like, you're doing therapy with someone, you've got somebody experienced in your ear, and then are they like going, are they actually saying, oh, you shouldn't have said that, you should say this, or like,
They
that's like my
would,
worst nightmare. I already
oh
have
my
that in
God.
my head. I don't need someone in an earpiece doing that. Like, is that what that was like, or?
It wasn't ever corrective, like, oh, you shouldn't have said that. But they would like sometimes they would like affirm, like, okay, good. And now like keep going with that. Or they might like cue like assess for this, or just like little cues. But most of the feedback would actually come afterwards,
Yeah.
like after the session, and then you would and then you would hear. But yeah, just like the fact that people were watching you almost like perform therapy was
Yeah.
enough, But yeah, it was incredible training, and I just actually feel so lucky. I know that that's not the case for everyone, even doing like their practical component of the social work training, but I got this amazing opportunity to have that, and then I just continued to, like, after school was done, just like look for more and more trainings, and so studying everything from like attachment theory, which has been around forever, but that was always something that I felt was really interesting, and so things like attachment and like relational dynamics. More recently, it's been a lot of nervous system and somatic work, everything from like emotional freedom technique or tapping, and then EMDR. And just like that in and of itself is like a huge thing. Training in parts, structural dissociation. Like there's so many aspects that I just kind of looking at hypnotherapy now with all of that kind of like also in my brain, it can like be integrated and woven into the work. And so yeah, so there's that. And then even in hypnotherapy, like it is an enormous field, and like my original training was amazing and really, really helpful, but didn't go into certain techniques like age regression. And so that's a type of therapy that, or like an additional type of therapy in hypnosis that I continue to pursue. So there's all of these things that just kind of feed into the way that I do hypnosis and hypnotherapy. And I think, like, sometimes I think about like how so many different perspectives kind of arrive at the same place, and that can be not even just in therapy, but like in health and like in many ancient traditions. And I feel like at some point there are certain ultimate truths, and people kind of get to them from different directions and angles. And I think the more that you learn and the more that you can see the same thing from different sides, it just like it's so much more thorough. And so that's the way that I think about doing therapy, is like kind of like pulling in these other pieces, because we are complex beings, and there's, so I feel like nuanced approaches can be really helpful for that.
Oh my gosh. Definitely. Oh, I've seen that power myself in terms of just like, how all these different perspectives can arrive at the same place or similar places. Like just my background, I've been in online marketing for over 10 years, and I see that with a lot of marketing strategies and then a lot of like coaching approaches, paradigms, which also overlap with, people doing things like hypnotherapy and, helping people with some of that stuff, timeline therapy, some of that kind of thing that I think crosses over from the mental health world into the coaching world a little bit, but I know like there's definitely differences on both of those sides. But yeah, I find it fascinating. And then when you look at historical perspectives and like look at it's like, ancient Eastern philosophies and then their approaches, and it's like, oh, hey, that lines up with a lot of the stuff that we're actually learning now. And just, yeah, I find that fascinating.
Yeah, me too. It's so incredible when you like deeply dive into certain streams, and like, yeah, I love it. I feel like there, yeah, it's just like endlessly interesting.
So, with your hypnotherapy stuff, is that something like how does somebody access that side of things? Like, is that something like they can sign up to, download audios for, or how does that work? I'm curious.
So right now I have a wait list for hypnotherapy, but generally right now I'm only working with people who are in Ontario. Yeah, I feel like it's just the way that things have been. It's easier to do it that way, and I know that that really limits like audience in a lot of ways. But that is also kind of why I wanted to go within and create these audios. One piece that I didn't mention is last year I had started to partner with a yoga teacher who does sound healing, like sound baths. And we started doing these group workshops where she would play the sound bowls, and I would sit beside her and I would do group hypnosis. And that combination was just so incredible. There was something about the way that the room would just like transform with these sound waves that were moving through and just kind of washing over people. And because I was sitting there and I was speaking, my voice would start to carry on the sound waves. And like it was so interesting. And it just like, I don't know, I felt like that combination of the sound and group hypnosis was really when I started to think like I want to do more group things, whether they're live or recorded. Like there, it just kind of lit a spark. And that idea of like sometimes to do certain work, it is the most in service of particular people and issues to work one-on-one and really dive deep to their unique root cause, because the root cause can be something like so specific. And to really get to it, like you need to like be searching for that. But there's also so many things in hypnosis that the person personalizes it when they're hearing it. So like it can be said more generally, but it becomes personal to the listener. And just kind of thinking about that side of things, like creating audios that are like you're able to hear it and it becomes like your own, your own experience. So That is the piece that I'm the most excited about right now, and feels like the thing that also just like is a more like larger scale offering. And I also feel like it's also so much more accessible. Yeah. And so, yeah, it's something that I'm excited to share with this audience. And like, I'll be officially launching it in the fall. So in autumn, coming up very quickly. And yeah, so right now everything is just kind of getting like the final touches. They're all professionally recorded. They all have like a pre, so before you listen, there's a little bit of guidance before. And sometimes that might be like a brief exercise to do. And sometimes it's even just having an idea framed a certain way. The conscious mind kind of, really responds to that, but it also starts to prime the subconscious mind and then kind of prepares the listener to hear the audio and use it as a tool. So yeah, that's my vigor goal right now is really to launch and then like get it into the world.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Talk about brave moves, like just, putting something that's so close to your heart, something that you've built the skills for years, like in different parts, like, where you got interested and started your therapy practice, and I hope that's the right terminology. And then, moved into all of this interest in the subconscious and hypnotherapy and just bringing that all together. And yeah, that experience with the sound waves and the group and everything. Like, I've done some meditations where they've, like, been hitting the heart chakra bowl or something like that. And yeah, like, it definitely feels something like that. And as you talk about it, I can absolutely imagine just being in this, I don't know, outdoor open air space with like a group of people, and then the sound, and just because, I mean, it's similar to like being at a concert that has its own frequency, and you can feel the energy of the people there as well as the what's coming from the stage and the music. And I can imagine how powerful that is in terms of just connecting with a part of the body or primal parts of the brain maybe, and helping us, yeah, feel calm and change. Oh my gosh. Sorry. I think that's so exciting. Let me get to a question, which is like, in your launch that's coming up, what's kind of like the bravest things for you that you have to maybe work through, or thought shifts or things like that to get this out into the world?
Yeah, well, this is a great question. So I feel like there's a few parts to it. One is it's the first time that I've really hired support. And so I had never really needed to before for anything, but I also just like tend to just like figure out how to do things. And when things are a hobby, like a blog, like it makes sense to like just kind of learn it. But for this, I hired assistants with branding and helping me to like, yeah, figure out like all the ways that the tech works together, which was a huge help. And then I also hired copywriting support, which again was a huge help. The list of all of the pieces was just so large that it didn't feel realistic to tackle it on my own. So number one was hiring support. Again, so grateful that I did that. And then part of my marketing plan is to connect with a variety of people who have their own audiences, large and small, and give them access to whichever recording they feel the most pulled towards, and give them a chance to use it, and then hopefully share it with their communities when we launch officially. And that idea came to me, and it was inspired by when I used to have my blog. A tea company had reached out to me and offered to send me tea if I would like share on my Instagram on this launch day, like the package and like the tea and stuff like that. And so my version of that is this. And so it means reaching out to people and, a little bit of vulnerability, because like What if they don't like it? Or like, what if they don't think it's good? But I do believe in it, and I think it's like one of those steps that it's takes some courage, but there's so much good on the other side that it's definitely worth the discomfort. Let's see. I feel like I have more answers, but does that
Yeah, that's definitely like a bit of an insight into the brave steps that you're taking to get this out into the world. And I think definitely our listeners and myself too can feel that that discomfort in the reaching out to people and sort of going, hey, can you help me share this? Can you help me launch this, promote this? Even I'm not great at that. It's weird. It's like I've got no problem putting it out into the world for the world to see, but then those people who I'm a bit closer with, especially, like that inner, or I don't, inner circle, and that circle of other entrepreneurs that I'm closer to and spend a bit more time talking to more regularly, yeah, that's harder because it's like their stuff and having to face potential rejection and all of that, definitely something I need to work through. That kind of thing. So,
yeah,
yeah.
it's uncomfortable.
Yeah, it definitely is. And actually, like for me, I don't know if this is your experience, but for me, I think it can be more uncomfortable before I start sending the messages or before I send the message. It's like my brain sort of makes it bigger than it should be, or bigger than it might be in reality or something like that, as opposed to once I start sending them and then I get back a couple of responses of yes, no worries or something like that, then that's awesome. And then I'm like, oh yeah, I'm okay now. Or, even if somebody does say, oh, hey, I've got something else on, I've got my own launch, I can't share this or something like that. Yeah, it's still like I can handle it, but it's before I start sending the messages that my brain feels like it can't handle it. It wants to
Yeah,
protect me and hold me back.
for sure. I feel like that's so natural.
Yeah, it's just funny how it's like you can kind of forget that other people go through that kind of thing too. Like my clients go through it all the time and I see it and I'm just like, I know what's going on here. I'm helping one of my clients work through posting in groups. And it's like at the moment, she's just like very confused about what that looks like and everything. But it's really just that resistance of what's going to happen, how will people react, and handling that ahead of time and that sort of stuff, I find.
For sure. Yeah. But then, like, one kind and supportive response can just be all the difference, right?
Absolutely. And I think, amongst other entrepreneurs, like other people who put themselves out there and things like that, you're unlikely to get a response of like, oh, what are you doing? Or I wouldn't do it that way. It's when I venture out into the realms of like some of the harshest criticism I've gotten has been from people who don't even do this entrepreneur stuff. One of my clients, she told me one of her friends told her that her online course was too like she was trying too hard with it, and I was like, I got really fired up in the session. I was like, well, that's not an opinion of someone I would listen to, because I think anybody who says something like that isn't your friend. They're not really have your best interests at heart, and they're certainly not out there putting their own stuff out there, because other people who do this stuff, they're never going to say something like that to you. It'd be constructive criticism, but it would also be encouraging and hey, we're in this together or something. At least that's my experience.
Yeah, I know. It's funny to give feedback like that that feels so harsh, and it's like, even if you do want to have, like, I don't know, like, even if you want to help, like, clearly there's a better way of saying that.
That's where I find like there's people who maybe don't do this entrepreneurial stuff and haven't had to move through like the inner work or something in order to put ourselves out there like this, where they might not have the compassion, and so like they might the feedback can be a bit harsher, like
Yeah, for sure.
So yes, but not something like I don't know, like I think it's actually I find it's harder to deal with in your brain before it happens. When it actually happens in real life, you're like, oh yeah, that's what this is. and it's not as bad, and it can be easier to move through. At least that's what I've found over the years. So, yeah.
Yeah, I also
Yeah.
feel like two little
Yeah.
things.
Yeah.
One is remember the evidence of it going well in the past. So it's not a new experience if you have previous experiences where you were able to do the thing and had a good result, right? Had like a nice response or
Yes.
whatever. So like hold that evidence. And the other is like if you can like use your imagination and just kind of like practice in your imagination of it unfolding beautifully, being well received, like what you'd hear, how that would feel, all of that, it kind of creates this familiarity in the subconscious. So it's called mental rehearsal. Athletes use it all the time. Actors,
Yeah.
like it's such a common thing, but it becomes so familiar that it doesn't feel like the first time that you're doing the thing when you finally do the thing.
Yes. Oh my gosh. And I use that a lot actually, like as part of my business bravery framework. A part of it is like visualizing and feeling into that sort of the future that I want. It's helped me a lot with my anxiety that I've had for decades, and helped to calm the nerves. And yeah, like I said, for me, a lot of stuff was bigger in my head before I started, and helped me to actually take action as opposed to years of avoiding the things because they caused anxiety. And it's just, yeah, that mental rehearsal. And like you said, athletes use it all the time too. And it's just like, well, if they're using it to win gold medals and whatever at Olympics, then I can certainly use it for my day-to-day life, for the things that cause me anxiety in my business, and life. But yeah,
Yeah,
it's so
exactly.
powerful.
It totally is. Yeah, it's like
Yeah.
simple things are so powerful, so significant.
Yeah. So you talked a bit about like getting started with this business and things like that, but I didn't get a chance to sort of ask you like what brave shifts did you have to make in order to get started, which something that could inspire some of my business owners who might be just getting started, like they're new coaches and things like that, and they're looking for their first paying clients. Yeah, like what kind of brave shifts or, maybe shifts in perspective you had to go through to take those brave steps for you?
Yeah. Oh, okay. So I think that this is a place where like your inner work really starts to, it becomes very important. And I think that it's such a part of the process. And I heard somebody say something along the lines of like having a business is like it's gonna bring all your stuff to, I'm gonna paraphrase because I can't remember, but like it just brings all your stuff to the surface and you have to look at it. So which is extremely true. So yeah, there was my own kind of like path, that whole process of being able to actually name that the place that I was working actually wasn't aligned with me at like a heart level. And that was hard when like my like a little bit, stubborn, or you could call it very loyal side thought that I would just be where I was, even if it was like causing me heartache. And so that process of like my own self work was it was like what needed to happen to get me to the place where I could actually like turn another corner, like pivot, change directions. And so that would be a huge piece of it. And then another part of it that I think, especially if somebody is like at the beginning and maybe feeling a lack of confidence, or I know people talk about imposter syndrome or all of these things, is like, yes, there's going to be a point where you know enough and it's time to actually start. But checking in, like, is there actually something else that you need to know? And like, do you need to brush up on something, or like, would it serve you to get a certification or training or whatever? And that for me was, there was a year that I dedicated, it was almost a year, dedicated to even though I had been doing this career since like 2010, so I had been doing it for like over a decade, I still needed to brush up on things. And so I took trainings, and it became the thing that I did while my husband is at work. And like it was like my job. And I know not everybody has the luxury to like stop their work and like take all that time to dedicate. But to some extent, like is there something that you can do that will actually build your confidence and build your sense of readiness or your sense of capacity to do the thing that you want to do? And that was really helpful. And then taking even small steps build confidence, and they give you momentum. And momentum is like that when I'm talking to my students and they're feeling like, oh, am I gonna get clients? Like, they're just like feeling so worried about that. Like, I always focus on momentum. There's things that we can do, and you have to trust that it's happening before you can see the actual evidence of it. And that's just proven true over and over. There's the steps that you need to take, and you have to trust that it's working.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It's, I really liked hearing you say that you have to trust that it's working even before you see the evidence and the results. Because like is that, did I phrase that correctly? Like I didn't
Absolutely.
mess that up. Okay, yeah. So yeah, for me, that was like one of the biggest shifts for me in my business. I found it was the whole believing in it before I see the saw the results, because I was really raised in an environment of I'll believe it when I see it. One of my one of my parents' favorite catchphrases, and definitely one that I picked up. And yet I found it for business, it things really shifted for me, like when I worked with a coach and she helped me to kind of like believe in myself first, but also just sort of like believe in the vision first and just really believe in it, and like making that decision and then being able to act from there, because then acting from that vision and feeling like it was true, even though there wasn't the evidence already, meant that I showed up in this more confident and passionate way, which then helped attract people to want to work with me. And then like it came about, and that was a real mind-blowing kind of concept of things. And one of the things that I work with my clients on is a lot of the time it's like actually the decision comes first and the belief comes first, and then things come together. Yeah, like from your perspective, like how do you help people shift through that, helping them to believe in the vision when they're just not seeing any of their results and that kind of thing?
Well, I'll often look at, well, what is showing up as like the symptoms of the problem, or like what is the expression of the problem? I usually use that word, like what's the expression? How does it show up in your life? That usually kind of like holds the problem in place in a way. And then, so like often I'll look and target all those things that show up as the expression of the problem. So if there's like an issue with anxiety, well, where is anxiety showing up? And we'll work on those pieces. And then, sometimes there'll be something that's sticky. It's not as easy to shift it. And that is usually our like entry point to go deeper and get to the root. So like this idea of like you can look at how it's showing up, because our brains create all these like chains of association and things get linked up. So that's how problems can often start to expand. Whether the issue is like a limiting belief, it kind of will show up in various domains of life. Or if the issue is anxiety, the anxiety starts to spread and it shows up in various places. It's not only at work or only in relationship or whatever. And so we look at like how it is in your day-to-day, and then go much deeper to like get down to the root. Because if you don't get the root, then it's just gonna be like that carnival game, like whack-a-mole. Like you're just kind of like, it's popping up like here and here and here, and you think you get it over here, but there it is over there, you know? So I don't know if that answers your question, but I think about like that piece of things like in the day-to-day, and then why. And that piece is so important.
Oh my gosh. It's so interesting how you talk about the anxiety and like where it plays out and the finding the sticky parts. Because for me at certain points, not anymore, thanks to a lot of work that I've done, over well over a decade. But yeah, it seemed like just anxiety was in every area of my life at certain points, where it's just because possibly because I didn't tackle it in the places where it was sticky, it then like nearly became a habit, and like it just sort of anything that pushed the discomfort button, anxiety came up. And yeah, and that could be a lot of like seemingly simple things at different times for me. So yeah. Oh my gosh, it's so interesting you talk about it being sticky. Things I wish I'd known sooner. Okay, that's awesome. I love that. I mean, like obviously, like it seems quite normal now talking about it, but just times when I was like struggling with that myself, just would have been like, oh yeah, like look at the parts where it's the stickiest. And yeah, love that.
Thank you.
Okay, sorry, a question. So, yeah, what for anybody who's listening who wants to do the next brave thing in their business, whether it's getting their first paying clients, whether it's getting a like growing their business and having more clients, or launching the masterclass or the challenge, or like you putting your hypnotherapy audios out there for people and all of that good stuff, but they're kind of finding themselves stuck in resistance, they're blocked, they're perhaps it feels big in their head and they don't know how to start. What advice do you have for that person to help them move through it and get started?
Okay, I think this is such a good question. So, okay, of course, there are actions that we want to take, and amazing guides for marketing and all of this. But before, if it's feeling like there's resistance coming up to doing the thing, then start with that. You know, like give yourself the time to actually look at what is showing up. Because it's gonna be there, right? And so when I think about resistance, I find that because it's uncomfortable, we try to like shove it down or push it away or ignore it. And if you with compassion, or if compassion's not available to yourself, then at least with curiosity to kind of just like give yourself some time and space, get quiet, and take that stance of curiosity, and just kind of notice, okay, if I think about this thing that I want to do, what am I feeling in response to that? And then notice the feeling and kind of like allow yourself to turn towards it, you know, rather than pushing it away or trying to resist it. What if you just kind of actually allowed yourself to turn towards it with that stance of curiosity and, you know, gently just kind of like get a little bit closer to it? Does it have anything to say? Are there other feelings there? Do those feelings need to just be felt and acknowledged? Or is there something that those feelings or that sensation needs from you? And kind of just like having this, you can think of it as like a conversation with yourself without judgment, like being as neutral as you can. Curiosity is such a helpful stance with this, because you can say like, okay, why is that? What's going on there? And just ask questions, and you'll find that you get answers, whether they're answers in terms of thoughts and verbal. Some people are more visual and they might actually like picture certain things. Other people will just have like a felt, more kinesthetic sense in the body. But often what I find is that when you turn towards the resistance or the emotion with that stance of curiosity, is that It'll soften, it'll communicate with you, it'll often dissipate. You will often come away from that with a sense of like what you should at least do next. And that to me is so powerful because like being able to do that work with yourself can you it's something that you can continue to go back to. And it's also building your self-trust because it like those parts of you feel like they actually get your attention. They don't have to scream louder and louder for you to look at them if you do that just consistent, gentle practice of curiosity.
Yes. Oh my gosh, the power of curiosity without judgment. I know for me, for most of my life, like my instant reaction was straight to judgment of you shouldn't be doing this, you should be doing that, why didn't you do it yet? You must be lazy, like all of these things. And yet that just process of like, hey, like let's get curious, let's sort of think about why we're doing this, and the compassion, it's so powerful. And I know for me, for sure, and for my clients and for other people, it's yeah, oh my gosh, definitely life-changing. So
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the thing like when we become curious, then we can actually get answers. If we just meet resistance with like pushiness or like pushing back, it'll just push harder against us, you know? Like, yeah, in there's like a type of modality of therapy called motivational interviewing. It's not one that I use, but there's one thing that always has stood out with me from that, which is when somebody is like ambiguous or resistant, that you don't like get hard into a position against that. You have to roll with the resistance, and that just like it just opens up space rather than feeling like, you know, we have to like push harder, if that makes sense.
A little bit. I might help with an example, maybe
Okay.
just of, like what does that resistance look like, and what does that rolling with the resistance look like? At least for me, that would help.
Yeah. Okay. So with resistance, like if we meet it with a hard edge, like trying to like push through it without kind of like trying to understand why it's even showing up, or if we just kind of like try to push against it, it's going to feel that push. So another way of kind of looking at it is like what you resist persists, like it'll just hold on. You can think of it as like it has a reason. Like, what is its reason? What is it trying to do for you or serve you through? Or like, is it what is it afraid of? Like, there's always something underneath it. So if you just keep on like pushing against it, it's just gonna push harder. Whereas like when we can like get curious, that's also just accepting things for what they are, and then trying to like understand more, that opens up so much more space so that you can get more information, and that information can help you decide what to do with it. Yeah, so that kind of like instead of pushing, can you shift the way that you're treating yourself or coming at approaching yourself?
That definitely makes a lot more sense with the whole, yeah, the pushing against it and what you resist persists. And yeah, definitely. Makes more sense. Okay, thank you so much for all of your amazing wisdom and insights, your stories of bravery. It's been amazing, and definitely looking forward to seeing your launch in a couple of months and all of the good stuff that you have coming out. For, of course, there will be links to all of your stuff in the show notes, but for people who are like me, who are like, screw the show notes, I just want to go straight to Instagram or wherever, where should people connect with you?
Yeah. So I started, oh, I guess this is something that I didn't share, and it actually maybe qualifies as a brave thing, but I started dedicated Instagram for Go Within just recently. It's still small, I trust that it'll grow. So there's, I'll include the links for you for this too. But there's an Instagram for Go Within, and then I have an Instagram where I'm not very active, but I like to post stories, and so I'll share that as well. It's Christine DeRoss, my name. And so yeah, that's the Instagram, and I know I always look on Instagram too for people.
Awesome. Okay. Thank you so much, Christine. This has been amazing. It's been, yes, so much amazing inspiration, especially for me, and I'm sure for the listeners too. So thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Business Bravery Podcast. Has this episode inspired you to do something brave? Even if it's only send a difficult email, please share it with me on Instagram or other social media channels. Feel free to tag me at Tiffany G Studios. That's TiffanyG. G for golf, Studios, no spaces, no underscores, etc. Or you can use the hashtag Business Bravery Podcast so that I can cheer you on, and together we can inspire other coaches and course creators to do brave things in their business and life. Now, I'm Tiffany, and I'll leave you with this one last thing. What's one brave thing you're going to do today? It doesn't have to be big. Even the smallest steps can create the most massive results. So again, feel free to share it with me either publicly or privately so that I can cheer you on. That's it from me. Until next time, bye for now.